And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. May the Lord prepare our ears today to receive the message.
Good afternoon. This morning, I'm going to ask some questions, and I'd like some feedback, and it's going to be somewhat interactive at times, okay? So when I ask a question, I'd like a response, and we're going to go from there with our sermon, all right? Could be a little interesting, all right? But before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your guidance and your watch care over us. I ask that you touch my lips this morning and let them only speak words from you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to be in the book of Matthew. Now the parable of the sower is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Our scripture came from Luke because it is the most concise of the verses that said that. But we're going to study it from Matthew because it tells us the most about it. So we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. First, before we get into questions, we need to know what we're talking about. So let's read it. Chapter 13, the book of Matthew, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now here's where we start asking questions. We've read the verse, we've read the scripture. And this is a way that we can do Bible study individually, but we'll do it collectively today. We start by asking the six questions. Who, what, when, where, why, how. So, as we read this, anybody have a question come to mind? Anybody? Who, what? What about who? What are we going to know who? What? Who is the sower? Good. Very good. Okay? Any others? Let's just throw them out. What do we got? Who is the sower? Very good. What kind of seed? Excellent. Okay? What else we got? Okay? Parables are a mystery. All right. Another question, yes. Why was he out on a boat? Okay, good question. Any others come to mind? Yes. What was the hard ground? Okay, or the wayside as it's termed here. All right, good. Any others? We will answer these questions, most of them. I might get a weird one that I don't know the answer to, but most of them, yes. Ooh, he just drove the nail home, didn't he? Which one am I? Okay. Any others? Okay. No other questions? Is that going to satisfy everybody's curiosity this morning? Carlton? Okay, who's sowing the crop and what was it that they yielded? Okay. Well, as we start answering these questions, there's this process is the three A's of Bible study. The first one, we ask. Second, we answer. Okay? And we answer the question by three, we use three tools. The first one is we compare. The first one is context. So we look at where it is in the Bible. So our first clue is on that same day. On what same day? Does that come to mind? What day are we talking about? What's that?
The day
he's speaking, okay. But on the same day, well, the Bible all were, it's all one unit, so we have to look back. Where was he before? What happened prior to this? We look back. What's happened in the Bible? So we look back a couple verses. We talked about Jesus' mother and brothers were sent him and unclean spirits. And so we can look back and see what was going on. Potentially, Jesus was in, this happened in Capernaum. And Jesus, a lot of times, spent time in Peter's house in Capernaum. So he may have just come from Peter's house. Go out and just do what he did during the day, which was what? What did he do? Teach. Okay? So we look at context. Then we compare Scripture with Scripture. Is there something in here that we need to compare with somewhere else? Well, we know we've got other passages. We know we've got Luke and Mark that we can compare with. But as I've looked at them all and they all say basically the same thing. So they didn't help us a lot there. Some of them have the numbers, you know, at the end, a little bit reversed, but they're basically the same. And then we look, and I forgot the word, and I didn't write it down. Shame on me. We look at our references, and I forget the C word there. We look at our concordance, our dictionary, our lexicon, we put everything together with our other resources. And I forget the word, but ask me later. It's in my briefcase. I've got it written down. After that, and we'll get there later, we apply it. And there's a specific way we want to do that. But let's dive into it. We've asked some questions. Let's see, what's this about? As we are comparing and we're learning, we've read the passage, but the passage doesn't stop there. The passage goes all the way to verse 23. So we keep reading. We keep reading. Verse 10. And the disciples came to him and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given." Now, who is he talking to? The disciples. And he says, it's been given to you. So, I have to ask, can we understand parables? Why? Go ahead. Okay, his spirit. The Spirit opens it up, good. But he said it's been given to his disciples, and he says the disciples can understand. So if we can understand it, what does that mean? It means we're his disciples. But to them, those who are not his disciples, it's not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Now, what does that sound like happening, that Isaiah passage there? Anybody? What does it sound like they're doing? What was that? They're testing them, okay? Okay. It sounds to me like they're going, I don't want to know. If I hear, then I'll have to change. I don't want to hear it. This is the children of Israel. Isaiah was told that there will come a time where they're going to not want to pay attention anymore. Now, I have to. Are we there? Is our nation there? Are the people outside of the church where they don't want to hear it anymore? You have a question? It is inside some churches. Okay, George, you have something? Okay. Okay. All right. Verse 16 continues. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. There are many people who wanted to see Christ come, but that didn't, because it wasn't time yet. But you get to, the disciples, he's speaking to them, they got to see Jesus. They got to see Christ. Now, okay. Good. Connie? Sure. That means 100% yield. Okay? I've got a stat on that later. Hold on with that one. Okay? Now, George asked earlier, well, why did he get in a boat? Any thoughts? Anybody? Okay. All right. Okay. He felt crowded, George. Okay. Alina. Everybody didn't push him in. Okay. Reading the commentaries, studying for this, it said that he was going out as if he was just going to get in a boat and go to the other side of the lake. But the crowd pressed upon him. So if I'm standing here and y'all are pushing me, I'm going to keep backing up. But so eventually I'm going to have to step up. Well, the only place to step back to was in the boat. He could cast away just a little bit. He could see everybody. Yes, the natural amphitheater of the ground. He could, the water. Absolutely. That's why he was in a boat. There was just so many people there. Now, Christ goes on to explain. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower, verse 18. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. These are the people that are around, and they hear the word, but it doesn't do anything. It goes right through them, as they say, in one ear and out the other. Doesn't affect them at all. I would dare say that nobody in this room is that, because it's affected us enough to get us to come listen to sermons and be here on Sabbath morning. But he who received the seed on stony places, verse 20, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, what is that? Victor? Okay. Okay. George?
I was like that too. I was in this church. I was a member of this church. I've been baptized three times, and I heard the word a long time ago. And I believed that I was here, sat there, and did a lot of stuff around here. And then when I left, I was still in the world. I was still doing things I know I shouldn't be doing, but I was still doing it, still coming back. So my seed was kind of on the rock here.
Well, actually, it wasn't, and we'll get there in a second. Sure. Carlton? Loss of heart. Okay. The picture here of this is a stony ground. We think of rocky ground, right? Rock that's just, or ground that's just got rocks all through it. That's not the picture here. The picture here is more of a rock ledge that has some dirt on top of it. And so you throw the seed is out there, and because of the heat of the rock, of the sun on the rock, and the moisture that's there, it goes poof and germinates very quickly. But because it's on rock, it can't get roots. It can't go deep. And so as the rock continues to heat, and the sun continues to beat, it kills it. That person is one that is only worried about themselves. They are too important in their eyes to worry about God, to think about God, to worry about religion. They don't care. It's all about me, is what they're saying. The stony ground individual. Whatever's right for them at this moment. They might see it, they hear it, they go, oh yeah, that's great. But tomorrow they go, oh, but that football game tomorrow next week, we're doing that, or whatever. That's more important, whatever's important right now. That's what they do. They fail to count what the cost of discipleship. There is hope, but the only hope is to be born again, to start over. Verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now, George, what you described a minute ago was this. Okay? Just a second, Carlton. The thorny, that's where a lot of, some of us may be. Some of us may be several of these, the rocky ground. But the thorny ground, have we given up everything that isn't led by God? That gets real. That gets real, real fast. Do you have a comment, Carlton?
Yes. Because of the nothings for different cures. And the it grows rather than the word of God growing in his heart.
He lets other things besides the word of God grow in his heart. These people do hear the word. They are converted. They change their mind. They change their ways. But they don't let go of everything. There's something still holding on. Connie? Okay. Okay? These people hold on to the things that tempt them and draw them away. They don't, and then they fall prey to those things. Despite everything they can do, they fall back. Fall back into the world. George? That's right. I heard a comment up here. We're born selfish. The original sin. Self. I. Diane.
I think the people that receive the word in this category, they hear it, they take it in, and they get baptized. But then family, cares, riches, draw them follower of Christ, it's like baby's milk. You've got to drink it. You've got to be in the Word. You've got to be fellowshipping. And you can be drawn away so easily by family, by work, and it can just take you right out until finally you're not spending time in the Word anymore. You're not going to church anymore. You're just being drawn totally away by the world. And that's the thorny.
That's exactly right. Yes.
You develop on where you have grown in fertile soil, obviously, for the humans to grow. But you also, when you have a weed growing next to a plant, you don't remove that and you don't get rid of that, whether it's old friends or people that are in your life that are not followers, and you get ideas and maybe you're not ministering to them as well and giving back.
Okay. All right.
Conscious effort to be aware of what's happening, because you're going to grow, but the weeds will take away all your nutrients and all your energy and anything that can suck that away from you. Take your water away.
Anyone that has ever grown a garden knows that if you don't weed it, the weeds will steal the food for the plant that you want to grow. Now, we can't do the weeding. We can only prepare the soil. God does the weeding. The angels do the weeding. God sows it. And the picture here is not like now when we plant, we'll dig a hole, we bury it, we cover it over. That's not the picture. The picture is the ground is prepared and he's just broadcasting seeding. The question earlier, what's the seed? Well, the seed at that time, the seed that was being sown was wheat. Now, what is the seed here? What is the... It's the Word of God. So are we eating the Word of God? Is it going in us? Very good. Verse 23. Let me back up a second. There was one thing I wanted to say about the thorny ground. Their relationship with God, of the people in the thorny ground, is not the main thing in their life. Other things crowd out that relationship that should be the most important. They don't let Christ take over their lives. Yes.
One thing, when I ask the question, what is the ground? The ground is the heart.
The ground is the heart.
That's right.
The ground is the heart. That's right. Okay.
It's where you're
at. Right.
The seed or the ground of life.
Right. For those who couldn't hear, her question earlier is what's the ground? The ground is our heart. Carlton?
I wanted to mention, you speak about thorns. The thorn has been mentioned many times. A thorn used by Moses, a thorn even in Genesis. The thorn has been always been with us as that sinful being in our body, our sinful self. That is always with us and with our thought, and we ever grew with. Their thorn is more greater than our thorn because they have not considered.
Okay. George?
People need to hear the Lord as a show. The best way to bring people to Christ is how you live by example. Basically, how you're living, and you get all the disasters come on you, you come through and shine on the time and end, and they see how you live, but they see what you're about. They understand. That's all it. I think that's the best way to bring people to Christ, is with their eyes. Let them see how you live a righteous life.
Okay. Okay.
It's like a road that you have to come through. And they see that. They have that problem. They're like, man, it's a disaster.
All right. Let's look at verse 23 for a second. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, the good ground is not the heart that is free from sin. It's not the heart that has nothing wrong with it, that's perfect. It's the heart, the individual, that gives it all to Christ. And there is no good fruit that doesn't have seeds that produces more fruit. If it doesn't produce fruit, it's cut off. Looking at the pruning of plants and whatnot, pruning of the vine. If it's bad, throw it away. Now.
Also, when you prune, sometimes you make better fruit.
Exactly right. As you prune, it gets what the plant gets healthier if you cut off the dead. Now, let me challenge your thinking here for a minute. If you're here and you're good ground and you're responding, are you producing fruit? What is the fruit? The fruit of the Spirit, but also fruit is more more people. Witnessing, okay? Christ Object Lessons, which is in a book by Ellen White. This is the chapter entitled, I wrote it down so I didn't misquote it here. The Sower Went Forth to Sow, pages 33 through 61, is all about this parable. I would suggest that you read it. It gives even more detail than I can share here. But she mentions in this book, yes, Christ is the sower, but guess what? So are we. It's our job to share and sow. It's not our job to water. It's not our. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's not our job to make sure it grow. We just cast the seed. Just throw it out there. Yes, by the way we live, absolutely. But more than that, too. We can share our faith with. Right. If you haven't changed, if you haven't given it up yourself, if you haven't turned away, you have nothing to share. Actions speak louder than words. Carlton.
I like her statement. She talked about pruning a tree. That helps the tree grow. It's the same way in a family with children. You have to take away things or they won't grow.
Sometimes that is the case, yes.
There's certain things that have that's your change of life, a new creature, and that's the way your growth, you're growing properly. I mean, in Christ in the church, the proper church. And as the proper parents with the children. So they can grow right to be a good adults in the Lord.
Very good. George, do you have something?
Yeah, well, compared to crops, wheat, whatever it is, when it grows, it's good. You know, there's two kinds of crops. Wheat, and that is wheat, corn, whatever it is. There's a male plant, there's a female plant. You don't know which you're planting until it comes up. And the female plant comes up, and it starts getting more fully grown. And the wind blows, the female plant pollinates. And if that wind blows that pollen, the mites pollinate all the other plants.
Very good. Very good. If we are the ground and produce fruit, it spreads as the wind blows through us. Helps other things grow. You know, it's not our job, like I said, to water the seed. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I recently came across a phrase that I'd like to insert here. Our job is not, well, our job is to be God connectors. It's not our job to make sure people live their life correctly. It's our job to connect them with God. That's it. Just make the connection. He'll make it grow. And the seeds we're planting are the seeds of the gospel. Connie?
The first is not the wind, so what is the wind?
It's the Holy Spirit. Wind has always been a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's our job to connect people with Christ. Now, Christ came for each one of you. He came, lived a perfect life, wasn't sinless at the beginning, like each of us. He wants us to follow Him in that life. And then Christ died on the cross, perfect. Became our sacrifice. Was buried. He died, buried. 3 days He was raised. And He's in heaven today. None of us can get to heaven if we don't know Christ. It's not what we do. It's not what we say. It's not how we act. It's, do we know Christ? Is he leading? Is he central in our lives? The third step in the study. We ask, then we answer. We've asked and answered the questions. Now we apply it. And that application should be personal. It should be a yes or no question, because a yes or no question causes action. And it should be in the form of, will I, do I, am I, whatever. So I'm going to ask you this morning a personal question that you're going to have to answer for yourself. Christ has died and lived. He lived and died and is alive today to take you home. Do you want to let him rule your life? If you do, I'd like you to stand this morning. If you want Christ to rule your life, stand this morning. The ground that is in our hearts, we prepare it. Christ plants, he grows. We have to surrender our lives to him. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, you see each person standing. You hear each heart. Father, I thank you for each individual. Father, we've asked that you, by standing, we've asked that you rule our lives. We're giving it to you. Change us. If we are the thorny ground, take away those things that are in the way. You are the most important. For the rocky ground, we want to be changed completely so that we can be with you. Father, help us to produce that we're the good ground. Those of us that are good ground. Father, I thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.